In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, my beloved, is the 29th day of the blessed month of Barumhat, which is, as you heard from the Synaxarium, the Feast of the Annunciation, which is when Archangel Gabriel came to St. Mary, announcing to her the birth of the Savior. And this is one of the major feasts in the Church, and it usually falls sometime during this great fast. Today, it happened to fall on a Sunday. And this is why we didn't read the readings of whom? Of the Samaritan woman. Good. Because of course it's a major feast, it trumps any other reading, you know, in the Church. Both of these occasions, the Annunciation by the angel to the Lord, to St. Mary, and also the Lord's meeting with the Samaritan woman, both of them can be similarly characterized or classified as a divine dialogue, a dialogue with God. Of course, with St. Mary, it's through the angel, but with the Samaritan woman, it's with the Lord Jesus directly. And if you think about the settings of these two encounters, there cannot be any different. The first one with St. Mary, she was living her life as a consecrated servant in the temple, serving God, and in the privacy of her room, the angel comes to her and announces to her the good news. On the other hand, you have the Samaritan woman who came to draw water from a well at noon. Why? Because no one else would be there. No one comes to draw in the middle of the day. It's very hot. So she came to be at the well so no one would see her. And the Lord Jesus made a point to be at the well at noon to meet her and to begin this dialogue with her. And in both of these cases, God is calling them both with a message, first of an invitation, and then a message of salvation. This is what I'd like to speak about today, and we'll kind of compare the similarities between the two. The first is how we see that the Lord is the one who approaches us and approach them. With St. Mary, the Lord sent Archangel Gabriel to approach to her and to announce to her the good news. That's why in the Gospel we read this morning, it said, and having come in, the angel said. So the Lord is taking the first step to approach, of course, St. Mary, but in her represents all of humanity. Approach humanity. He came to us. The same thing with the Samaritan woman. He came to her, met her at the well, and when he got there, she was drawing water for herself. And she said nothing to him. Only when he said to her, give me a drink, did this open this dialogue between her and our Savior. So he is the one who comes to initiate. And it's oftentimes God who approaches us, although we're the ones who are sinning, or we're the ones who are sinners, and we are in need of him. But yet he comes and he approaches us. The same thing happened with our father Adam after he sinned. Did Adam go to God and say, forgive me because I have sinned? No. He and his wife, they hid themselves. And it was God who came to them and he said, where are you, Adam? And then began this dialogue between him and God. So we see God in his humility. He's often the one who approaches us. The same thing with Pharaoh. If you want to say, okay, Pharaoh was a non-believer. Same thing with Pharaoh. How did God approach Pharaoh first? He sent him his prophet Moses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 times to have this dialogue with him. But he refused. Our Lord desires a relationship with you and I, so that we may not perish. And it's oftentimes him who is approaching us. And this approach can be by many different ways. He can approach to us, of course, in this miraculous way, as he did with St. Mary. But he can approach us by speaking to our heart, having a message or a memory of some sermon or something that someone said before that calls me to repentance. And today is the day that it touched my heart. He can call me and draw me this way. He can call me by speaking to my conscience, right? And when I do a sin, my conscience rebukes me through the Holy Spirit. And we see also he can send us a messenger, a friend or a servant who can call us, right? So many different ways that God can initiate and approach us. Then after this approach, there's somewhat of a bit of confusion as to what is God's message for me and his purpose for me. And we saw this in the life of St. Mary when she said, when the angel told her that she would bear a son, She said, it says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So what's going on here? Okay, now an angel is coming to tell me that I'm going to give birth to a child and I don't know a man, right? So she was confused. And sometimes when God approaches us and is called, we don't know why or how or what is the message or where I should go. So there's sometimes this moments of confusion as to what we should do. Again, the same thing with the Samaritan. When he said, give me a drink to her, she was confused. And she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? She was confused. How is it that you're even talking to me? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Sometimes we may not understand why God has called me to a particular service or sent me to a particular city or had me go to a different job. And sometimes we don't understand why is it that God allowed me to experience some kind of hardship in my life, why God allowed me to experience some kind of loss in my life that was difficult for me. And sometimes we can ask ourselves on the flip side, why is it that God has granted me so much success? You know, God has granted me so much success. Why is it that He's given me? What does He want me to do with the success that He's given me? Throughout our journey of life, we may not understand His message or purpose of the things in our life, but at the end of the day, we must trust in His way. We must trust in His way. As Scripture tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. And St. Paul tells us another verse that we're familiar with. He says, we know that all things work together to good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So the one who follows God and trusts in Him, everything in their life is good. Even the things that we might perceive as being bad or evil, like loss, death, and suffering, these can still be good for us, right? We will never grow in our spiritual life unless we are tested. And sometimes we characterize these tests and these trials as being things that are evil or being bad. But in actuality, they're things that are strengthening us in Him. So as we approach Him, or He approaches us, and sometimes we're left not understanding, He makes sure to tell us that we are favored. Both St. Mary and the Samaritan woman. Both the saint and the sinner alike. With St. Mary, He says to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. What a greeting is this from an angel. Highly favored one. This is a beautiful greeting that I'm sure anybody would love to hear from the angel. And what was she favored for? Many things we can speak about St. Mary. We can give sermons about St. Mary. She was favored for her humility, for her piety, for her purity, for her obedience, for her godliness, many different things. How about the Samaritan woman? She too was favored by the Lord, despite her sinful condition. The Lord went out of His way to meet her at a well in the middle of the day, knowing she would be the only one there. Being embarrassed and in her brokenness, He met her, telling her, you know what? I feel for you. You've been searching for love by five husbands, and the one you have now is not your own, and you haven't found it there. I'll be this one, and I will be your last one. And as we know, of course, the story of the Samaritan woman, she turns into a saint, and we know her in the church as Saint Fotini. God searches for everyone, even those who feel they're unlovable and or destitute. This is what we learn when the Lord says about the shepherd who leaves the 99 in the wilderness and searches after the one lost sheep until He finds him. When we respond to the movements of love from God and we go deeper in this relationship with Him, we then enter a new phase, which is revelation. When we respond to God's calling and understand His favor and we get into this relationship with Him, then He begins to reveal Himself to us. And what does He reveal to our mother, St. Mary? He says about the Lord Jesus, He will be great, He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Is He announcing to her that she's going to give birth to a child who will one day be a king of a nation? No. Yes, He will be a king, and He will be Son of the Highest. Okay, we can say everybody's the Son of the Highest. We're all children of God. But look how He ends it. He says, and of His kingdom there will be no end. There is no king or president in the world whose kingdom will be of no end, except the Lord Jesus, because he's eternal, right? And his kingdom is not of this world, as he said to Pilate. How did the Lord reveal himself to the Samaritan woman? The woman said to the Lord, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. So after she had this dialogue with him, and she understood that he was a prophet, she revealed to him that she knows that the Messiah is coming, and he's the one who will restore everything. And this is what all the Jews were waiting for. And then what does the Lord say? I who speak to you am he. Very rarely in scripture, in the life of the Lord Jesus, does he reveal himself as the Messiah or the Son of God clearly. He did it with the man born blind, and he said that do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he? I am he. And he worshipped him, right? Of course, with the disciples after some time, but he didn't reveal it plainly to many people. So she was favored, and because she responded to his favor and his invitation, she was worthy that he reveal himself to her. Out of his desire to develop and deepen his relationship with us, he will begin to reveal his mysteries to us that perhaps we didn't understand before we entered into this relationship. Look what God did with our father Abraham. After he called him out of his house and his father's house and told him, leave your house, and he said, Hadr, Lord, I will leave. Where should I go? Just go and I'll tell you. And he blindly followed God from Ur of the Chaldeans all the way until he made it to Canaan, back down to Egypt, back to Canaan. All his life was guided by God. And then it came a point where he wanted to give him a reward and fulfill the promise. So he says in Genesis 18 that he told him with the three angels that visited him, that you will have a son through Sarah, who is older, was very old. She will bear your son Isaac next year. Right after this incident is the incident in Genesis 19 about the destroying of Sodom and Gomorrah. But at the end of 18, what does it say? Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? So what does he say? How can I hide my work from my son? How can I hide it? Why? Because there's that relationship. When we enter that and deepen that relationship, we find God will reveal to us and make clear what his will is and his plan in our life. So it won't be something like of a guessing game. We will understand and we will know. And notice here he says, all nations of the earth will be blessed in him. It's not by him, but in him. Why? Again, through his faith. Everyone who is of the faith of Abraham, who can believe that from deadness and the barrenness of Sarah's womb can come life, from death can be life, then you are children of Abraham. And we were blessed in him because of his faith. So once he approaches us and we get over the not being able to understand everything that God has called us to, and we understand his favor and he reveals himself to us, then we enter the next phase of this relationship with him, and that's his call to participate in his work. Saint Mary, when he appeared to her and the angel told her about this annunciation, and he was basically asking her, will you be willing to take on this responsibility of bearing the Son of God? And she did, of course. At the end she said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. But what does this response entail? Is she willing to bear the burden of carrying the Son of God? What is this burden? It's both a burden and an honor. The burden, of course, that she could be stoned, because she's pregnant before she got married. At this time, this was worthy of being stoned. So she went into this, accepting this, knowing that the people aren't going to like me and they might even stone me if I accept this. But she did it anyway. And then the rulers found out that there was a miraculous star and they followed, and Herod was pursuing the young child in the family. And she had to be on the run. And she was willing to do this. Are you willing to do this? She said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do this. Let it be to me according to your word. And she witnessed the tortures and the suffering and ultimately the crucifixion of her son. And she watched from afar. She was at the cross. Knowing all of this, are you willing to do this? She says, yes, I'm willing to take this burden. Of course, the honor is very clear. It's carrying the uncontainable in your womb. Can you do so without falling into pride? And she said, let it be to me according to your word. How about the Samaritan woman? How was she invited to participate? Look what it says after she finishes her encounter. Remember, she came in the beginning to draw water. It says, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Mind you, she went to the well at noon because she was embarrassed of the way that she was living. She had 5 men, and the one she had now was not her own. It was not, you know, a lawful marriage. And then where does scripture say she go? She goes to those same men who looked at her as being like a sinful woman, and she said, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So she went to preach to those who perhaps looked at her in a bad way, who considered her to be filthy. But she went and told them anyway, right? So she accepted this invitation to participate in the work of the Lord in the spreading of the gospel. God wants us all, my beloved, to participate in His work when we enter this relationship, sharing the good news of salvation with everyone. And we are so fortunate that we have a church that holds on to the truth. We have a precious diamond, and it's our responsibility to share our belief with the rest of the world. And we don't need to argue about what other people believe. We just need to share what we believe. What makes my faith so special and transformative? And then when she acted faithfully, and when St. Mary acted faithfully and accepted this, now comes the reward. And the reward is an eternal reward. The angel says to St. Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So she received heavenly praise and honor from heaven because of her accepting this responsibility. And she is the new Eve. And you listen to all of, like many of the praises in the church, it's praising this work of St. Mary, accepting to take on herself all of these things and to carry the divine logos. And as we call her the Mother of God, and as God is our Father, and we are His body, and He is the head, then she also becomes our Mother as well, and our Queen, right? Many of these terms we refer to her in the hymns of the church. What about the Samaritan woman? Where is her reward? This one might be a little bit more difficult to come by, but I'll read for you the last part of the passage, and it will reveal to us her eternal reward. So after she's left, it says what? In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. So they came back and they had food because they went to go get food. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So he says, I already ate, and the food that I ate, you don't know what it is. Therefore his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. What is his work? And his work is to save the world, right? And mind you, he just had an encounter with a sinful woman who is now preaching his name. This is God's work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. As he's saying this part about lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for harvest. What's happening at this time? The people of Samaria, who she went to preach to, are now coming to him. Because the rest of the gospel says they came to him and they said, we believe not because of what you said, because we saw for ourselves. So as he's having this discussion, these people, these men from Samaria are coming down to meet him. And at the same time, he tells his disciple, the harvest is ready. These people are our food. This is the food that God wants us to eat. And then he says, for this saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you as the disciples to reap for that which you have not labored, these Samaritans. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Others, meaning what? This Samaritan woman has labored And one day you guys will preach in Samaria. And as we know in the book of Acts, St. Philip went to Samaria and he preached there. And the people believed quickly. Why? Because of the preaching of the Samaritan woman. Right? So she is now credited with the belief in Samaria. Because she started. And the Lord made a point here to say what? I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. And you can think of this. Any work that I do for God and spreading the gospel, even if it's just throwing a seed, giving someone a book, and speaking with somebody about God, and it lays the seeds, and eventually they repent and return, we are given this part of this reward in heaven. Maybe I throw the seed and somebody else comes and finishes, but God doesn't forget the seed that you threw. And this will be your eternal reward. Our promised reward is communion in the end with God. God, in his relationship with Abraham, told him this, but Abraham didn't understand. In chapter 15, it begins and says what? God wanted to reward Abraham for his faithfulness. And what does he say? He says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." So he says to Abraham, "I'm your reward. God, I am your reward." And Abraham had no idea what this meant. What do you mean, "You're my reward"? Of course, now we know in the New Testament we understand what this means. But he had no idea. And he turned the whole conversation into, "You know what, God, I don't have any children. I want a son." So God said, "Okay, I'll work with you from where you are. I'll give you a son." And he gave him Isaac and many nations after. The same with the lost son. Remember that story from last week. He says to his older son, he says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." This is what God will tell us in the kingdom of heaven. All that I have is yours. All of us will inherit all of heaven. Not just some of it. We'll inherit everything. Because we're his children. We're in him. Today, my beloved, we celebrate the Annunciation of the Lord to St. Mary. And we remember the story of the Samaritan woman as both of them being divine dialogues with God. And he shows us that he calls us. And it's often that God is the one who approaches us. And when he approaches us, sometimes we may not understand his message. But if we remain faithful and continue, we will be and understand that we are favored by him. We'll enter a new level of our relationship and he'll reveal to us himself and his ways and his will. And then he'll invite us to participate in his work. And when we participate in his work, we're assured of a heavenly and eternal reward. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.